Welcome back to Dark Florida. Today's guest is a lifelong intuitive, psychic communicator, interdimensional experiencer whose journey into the unknown began at birth, but truly ignited in her 60s. She's a conduit between worlds, receiving messages from spirit guides, angels, the departed, animals, and beings from beyond the stars. With a PhD in metaphysics and an honorary doctorate in ministry, she spent years teaching, speaking at conferences, and appearing on TV documentaries and podcasts. She's an oracle card reader, dowser, and a teacher of starseed knowledge, and she fluently speaks 4 alien languages. Her work reaches across realms, ghosts, Bigfoot, UFOs, and the paranormal. She's become a respected voice in the alien contact community. Her mission? To help others open their consciousness, reconnect with the cosmic, and remember where we truly came from. But before we get to that, if you want to follow all things behind the scenes and keep up with the fieldwork investigations that I'm doing, head on over to Instagram and give us a follow at Dark Florida Podcast. And if you have a story to share or would like to be a guest on the show, please feel free to reach out to me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. And wherever you're listening, please leave us a 5-star review. It really helps the show. Join me on the 2025 Caribbean Bigfoot Cruise with a Gather Up events. It is going to be 7 days of amazing squatchy fun with presentations from Dave Politis of Missing 411, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, and Dr. Mira Mayer. And if you use the code DARKFLORIDA at checkout, you will get $100 in free merch. That's right, $100 free merch. So head on over to gatherupevents.com. If you could please welcome to Dark Florida a woman whose story defies gravity and expectations. Please welcome to the show Phyllis Cesar. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I'm really excited to have you here and for us to finally get a chance to talk on air. I know that we've met in person and we've done some investigations together that has been really fun, but I'm so happy to get you on the show to be able to share about your experiences. And just for the audience, do you mind just telling us just a little bit about who Phyllis is?
I don't know if I can share it in a little bit, but I'll try. Well, I am a psychic. I work with deceased people and animals. I also get messages from spirit guides, angels, and I mainly try and work in the alien realm. My whole life history is unusual for who and what I am, and I'll get more into that as we're talking. But I have to say that once I hit my 60s, I didn't care if people thought I was crazy, and I just wish now that I started sharing what I could do at a much younger age. So out to all your listeners, don't wait. Don't worry about what people think of you. Dive into it as early as possible because you're going to have a great adventure, going to meet some incredible friends, and not regret anything you do. So don't wait till you're 60 like I did.
I absolutely love that. I think that that is some of the best advice that you can give is just dive headfirst into it.
Yes. I just basically, maybe it could be because of the generation I grew up in where a lot of this, everybody thought you were crazy or, you know, delusional. But right. More and more people accept it. And I can't tell you how many senior citizens come share their stories with me now that they know it's safe to talk about it. And also, when I was at the Phenomicon out in Utah last year, I was just kind of surveying the audience, and there was very few young people there. It was more seasoned people in the audience than you can imagine. So it's not just a thing that everybody's into all of a sudden. This has been a very serious topic for a very long time, and people can finally go out and share it with people. Meet others and not feel like they're going to be laughed at or mocked or shunned. So it's been really a terrific adventure.
Can you walk us through your very first alien encounter?
Okay. Well, let me just go back a little bit. Like when I was 7, I felt that I didn't belong here. And there were several times I asked my parents if I was adopted and they said no. But I was fascinated with anything to do with space. I watched all those hokey alien movies back in the 50s and 60s. I got hooked on Star Trek in the very beginning, and I've always been into sci-fi. But I also had this other longing where I felt like I wasn't from this planet. I even had this thing that I found in a basement of my great aunt's house in the dirt floor, and it said something about being part of a battery, child size. And I used to tell everybody it was part of the equipment I had when I first came to this planet. So I was talking about stuff like that, like 7, 8 and on up. So that's kind of like where my first inkling for anything alien started. Now, as far as actually running into an alien, it's really funny. My fiance, who has since passed, had several encounters with aliens growing up in Southern Illinois. And if he was alive today, he'd be in his 80s. So it was way back in the 80s and 50s when he had all his encounters. So we started talking a lot about things that we've seen and experienced. So that was exciting, where we decided to start a discussion group. That very week, we met a couple in a restaurant. And the woman, it was a buffet, and the woman was dousing over her food. So my fiance pointed her out and said, "Check that out." So, of course, being the shy person that I am, I walked right up to her and I said, "Are you blessing it or getting rid of the calories?" And she said she was asking what her body needed that day. Then she looks at me and she says, "Do you believe in aliens and UFOs?" It's like, "Yeah." She says, "Come join us." So her name was Carolyn, and her boyfriend's name was John. Now, they were in their late 70s by this point, early 80s perhaps. And it was really weird because John's deceased wife, who was into all the alien stuff, her name was Phyllis. And Carolyn's deceased husband was named Stan. And here we sat with them, Phyllis and Stan. So that was interesting. And he talked a lot about the aliens that have lived with them and all their experiences and the book he wrote. So we decided to have a UFO discussion group. And one day, this girl, Diana, shows up out of nowhere, and she pretty much disappeared before the meeting was over. And I was really disappointed because I was drawn to her for some bizarre reason. I don't know. I just felt like she wasn't totally human. Well, fast forward a few years, and I'm at the metaphysical church in town, and there she is. And she sees me, and she lets out a shout and says, "Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see you. I've missed you so much. I've thought about you quite a bit." And I'm going, "Huh?" So I was surprised that I had made an impression on her. Well, at the end of the service, they do tarot reading or give messages to people. And they told her that she needed to be opened up more and more friendly. So everybody had left the church, and she was standing there, and I was still in there, just the two of us. And I saw her and I said, "What's wrong?" And she says, "Well, I didn't like the message. I thought I was friendly." And I said to her, "Well, I can actually feel a wall between you and me. And if that wall wasn't there, I could reach out and give you a hug, but something's blocking it." And she says, "That's them protecting me." And all of a sudden her face shifted into, I guess, almost like a gray. Her head got wider up top, narrow chin, big almond eyes, and it was her, but it wasn't her. And I said, "Diana, your face is changing." And she says, "Oh yes, they're letting you see what I really look like." And I said, "Well, you're beautiful." And with that, you could feel the wall drop down. She threw her arms around me and called me beloved and said, "You know, that's their name for you. You've been on their ships many times, you know, you've traveled with them." And I was just like in shock that she confirmed certain things that I knew. They allowed me to see her and that they actually had a name for me. So that was amazing. And then a couple months later, she ran into my friend. she walked into his store. And while they were talking, he says, "Is it raining outside? It sounds like a torrential downpour." And he looks and the sun is shining, sky's blue. And he says that to her. She says, "Oh, that's because I'm not totally here. I'm in the rainforest right now." So she could actually be in two places at once. So that was my personal encounter with my first alien.
Now, when you said the grays, I know that there's different types, and sometimes you hear that the grays are described as that classic, typical alien you would see, and then others, sometimes they're taller, or it seems like they're all underneath of that hive mind. What has your experience been with them?
I kind of refer to them as the minions. I know I'm bad.
I like that.
I deal with the Pleiadians, the Reptoids, Insectoids, and the Lyrans. I do feel that not the Insectoids or the Reptoids, but other ones can look very human-like. I'm not quite sure where the grays fit in. I've heard they kind of do the scouting and some experiments and stuff on the not-so-friendly space beings that come here. But I guess when I use that term for Diana, it was because most people see the head shape is different and the big eyes. So that's why I kind of referred to her as a gray, but she definitely wasn't a gray. She was I'm not sure what race she was. She never did tell me. But, there are tall ones, short ones. I just kind of say, well, think of it like human beings. We're all different shapes, colors, sizes, beliefs, and that can happen in a lot of different alien races too. Not all cookie cutter.
Right. And you said that was the first time that you had had an experience with seeing an alien. Now, how has your relationship with that evolved over time?
Well, I personally went to a couple psychics myself. And the crazy thing is, my sister got to meet this one girl who does readings, usually angel readings. But the moment my sister sat down with her, this girl got all sorts of messages from aliens, space beings, all sorts of messages that she was just like shocked and explained to my sister, and they actually, her hand was hovering over my sister's hand, and it was like something was being branded into my sister's palm of her hand, yet you couldn't see anything. And when she told me this, I was jealous because I was like, wait, I'm the alien. I want to talk to her. So back then, even today, it's kind of expensive, but the girl charged $50 for a half an hour. So I set up an appointment for 6 o'clock. And we were going to meet in a restaurant. We met at 6 o'clock and we finished at almost 11 o'clock at night. She said the moment I booked the appointment with her, aliens were contacting her like crazy, giving her all sorts of messages, what they wanted to tell me, what I was, who, what I do, what I need to do, and went on and on. And to the point she was actually shaking when she was relaying everything. And I said to her, what's wrong? And she said, well, to be honest, if you knew how high up you are in stature with these people, you'd be shaking too. So that kind of blew my mind. And then I saw another psychic, because I like to talk to people, see what they can read off of me. And there's actually a 10-foot Reptoid that's standing beside me. And she could see it. Some kids have seen it. My sister has seen part of him, but I personally only saw him once when I was doing deep meditation. So I've been surrounded by aliens most of my life, and I have had other people confirm it. It's not something that I knew about until these people confirmed a lot of my what I thought was possible, but then tried to convince myself, no, you're just being crazy. That's crazy talk. But then having people confirm exactly what you're thinking, you just get to the point, well, you believe it.
I think that was really interesting how you had other people independently confirm what you were already suspecting. That was going to be my question. I know that you yourself, you are psychic and you have had paranormal experiences and alien. Do you think that those phenomena are connected in some way?
I really do. I find that there's what I would call the metaphysical realm is all connected. And it, I think a lot of it also is based on what your belief is growing up. Because I tell people, if you've always believed in Christian beliefs, all this realm to them are angels and demons or the devil. If you believe in ghosts and the paranormal, everything are ghosts or evil. And then the same thing if you believe in space and that that we're not the only ones on this planet. All the things you see and experience is all alien. So it's basically to everybody's having the same type of experiences. It's based on their upbringing or whatever, on how they justify what is going on, what they see, which realm is it. And, you know, I've been in communication. The aliens are in communication with the Bigfoot / skunk ape. They've actually given me a couple messages to give to certain investigators about things that they're going to see or experience. So everything I feel is, I don't think ghosts are tied into aliens, but I definitely think a lot of the cryptids and aliens have some kind of connection.
That really fascinates me, especially with the works of people like Dave Politis, who he started off as just the missing 411, and then it kind of blossomed into still the missing 411 profile points, but he put out that one, the UFO connection, because he realized while looking into the phenomena of Bigfoot while he was out on the Hoopa reservation that people were having and reporting other strange phenomena as well, seeing the lights or the orbs or having alien encounters in tandem with seeing a Bigfoot. And I've always felt like that's just so interesting. That's always really intrigued me as to what the connection between that could be. So is it possible Bigfoot could be just a branch off of those extraterrestrials?
I never really thought of it that way, because when I communicated with the skunk apes in Sarasota, they told me they were interdimensional beings. Now, that's not proof, because it was a personal conversation I had with them. So I can't go out and tell the whole world that they're interdimensional beings. But they also say a lot of aliens are interdimensional. They travel that way, not necessarily through, you know, in spaceships through space. So I think if it's an interdimensional type of connection. A friend of mine who is a physicist in England does a lot of information about those orbs, the silver orbs, things like that. And there's been a lot of study of them showing up in the woods, looking almost like eyes, when people are out looking for Bigfoot. And so they start to follow those eyes. And what they found out is 9 times out of 10, it's leading you away from where Bigfoot is. So what we tell people is, if you see those eyes and they start taking you somewhere, go the opposite direction, because they're actually there to get you away from, if you're about to walk into where the Bigfoot are hiding or hanging out, that they try and pull you away from that area. So they're some kind of protectors of these Bigfoot.
I think that's an excellent piece of advice, because I had seen some eyes while out investigating too. And now that I'm thinking about what you're saying, that's so perfect, kind of like how in a magic trick they have you looking over here while in reality the magician is conducting the real magic over there.
Exactly.
Keeping your eyes
distracting
diverted.
You.
Huh? Yeah, that's fair. I'm gonna have to try that next time. And then as far as the interdimensional piece too, that would really explain a lot of how sometimes people will be, let's say, tracking a Bigfoot and they will be following a trackway that seemingly disappears into nothing. I always find it so interesting when it's like in snow or something really visible, or when the scent dogs lose that trail and they can't pick up on it and stuff. That's happened with so many of the missing persons cases that do fall into that missing 411 category, is that when the dogs go out, they lose a scent, as if the person was just picked up, or as if the earth just swallowed them whole, one or the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you talked about how when you went and got the reading, how she said that you would be stunned if you knew the role that you played and how important you were in their hierarchy. Did you ever come to find out what she meant by that, or do you know?
Yes.
What she was talking about?
Yes. At one of the UFO conferences that I was speaking at, there is one man who's had a lot of encounters, and he's ex-military ops, and he is also certified in hypnosis and Reiki. And what he does is he would take people to what they called your soul room, and it was kind of like hypnosis, but he would guide you till you got to the room where you meet your guides. And so I had him do a session with me. And it was really strange, because when I reached the room, it was very shadowy. And it was like looking at a panoramic view, like this TV screen panoramic view of a room, except you couldn't see anything that you could define. But there was this major shadow. And then all of a sudden, I was told that the reptoids were there. And I realized that they're so big that they were blocking the light. And that's what made it all shadowy. And as soon as I said, oh, the reptoids are here, the room started to swirl in the color purple. Almost like if you dropped purple paint in water and it would swirl, that type of look. And I said to the guy, because you could communicate with the one who was taking you to the soul room, that everything I'm surrounded in purple, I don't understand. And he said, I'll tell you later after we're done. So I said, okay. And then with that, I was pulled out of that room, and straight ahead was this massive beam of golden light. And an insectoid was standing there with a big grin on his face. And when I got up to it, they said, this is our gift to you. You are to share it with select people when you get back home, you know, when you're back home. So shortly after that, I came out of the hypnosis. And the first thing I said, so what does the purple represent? And he says, royalty. He goes, he's only had one other person in all the years that he's been doing this that saw purple. And it represents that you're part of the royal lineage of the reptoid race. It's like, what? So they're benevolent and there's malevolent. So I'm from the good guys' side. And that I found out that I was actually like one of the leaders in the royal family. And that's why this 10-foot reptoid is by me. He's in a different dimension, but he's there. He's by me all the time. People have actually seen my eyes blink sideways. My sister saw it, and somebody saw it at a campfire when we were up at Colt Creek State Park a couple of years ago. So that kind of surprised me because I've never seen that myself. So, and then the gift of the golden light, that whole week after the convention, my ears were pointy, my chin was pointy, and my green eyes were greener than I've ever been. A couple of people who could read auras said they could not look at me because there was this massive golden glow around me, and it was blinding them. So these evidences, like, I could say that I saw all this stuff and it was all in my mind, but then when people on the outside are seeing these things, when they look at me, it just confirms that it's got to be real. So eventually I kind of went back to my normal look. And a couple things. I'm Rh negative blood. I'm left-handed and I have green eyes and I'm psychic. And those traits are rare in the human population, especially green eyes, Rh negative blood, and even being left-handed. I did a study one time on starseeds and also Rh negative people and a lot of similar traits. So anyway, this golden light, I'm supposed to touch forehead to forehead. And I usually say something like, golden light I give to you, and then whatever pops into my mind to say. And I can actually feel energy leaving my head and going into somebody else. The thing is, I can't pick who I do it to. The space beings tell me who to do it to. So I can't just walk up and say, hey, I need to give you some golden light. I have to be told. And so when I was out in Utah, I gave it to an artist out there who we became friends with, him and his wife. And it has changed his life completely. He's an artist that gets visions of drawing aliens and Bigfoot and stuff. And he says, since I gave it to him, he has such vivid dreams of what to draw that he can't wait to wake up and do the next drawing. I have another person that I gave it to, and they have been experiencing a lot of stuff when they're out in the woods. Fairies, little people, Bigfoot, the dog man, all sorts of incredible experiences since I gave that to a friend. So, and then there was another guy recently I gave it to at the Bigfoot conference in Ocala, because we had met out in Utah, and I was told to give him some. We just couldn't connect. And then I also did it to two other people. And matter of fact, the one person I gave him so much in the beginning, I ended up giving him a migraine. I felt so bad. So I had to learn how to pull back a little bit, but I can actually physically feel it leaving me, going into the person I'm giving it to. So my mission is, one, it's giving this golden light, but most of it has to do with, it's for people who the space beings want to be more in tuned with what's going on, and possibly be more, well, the one person that they download a lot of information at bedtime while they're sleeping, and they wake up with knowledge that they never had before. And the one person I know, they had given him a lot of technology knowledge because he was supposed to invent and build things.
Do they share messages with you? Have you ever had any sort of abduction scenario where you've found any physical changes? I know you had this meditation that your appearance changed slightly, but have you ever noticed that you've had any missing time or sudden healing after an encounter?
Well, this one thing baffled me one time. I had a dream and I was outside looking up through the trees and there was a UFO hovering. And I said in the dream, "You don't have to abduct me. You know, I come willingly." And then I just kind of woke up. Well, within a day, I had a strange boil on my knee and my elbow on the left side of my body. And it's like, where did it come from? I hadn't been anywhere. I hadn't been out in the woods. I had no idea how this happened. And I was able to kind of fuss with the one on my knee myself. But the one on the elbow, I worked in the ER at the time, so the doctor cut it and packed it and drained it. And they eventually, you know, healed. And then one other time, I had like three, for lack of a better term, felt like cysts going exactly down my spine in three different spots. But they never amounted to anything either. So I'm not quite sure about if they have done something to me. But I do have an implant on the side of my leg, and it sets EKG machines. They go crazy. They either have to move the lead, or a couple of times I've said to it to shut down. And then as soon as I do that, all of a sudden the EKG machines will work. So it does interfere with stuff, but because it's alien technology, it doesn't show up if they try an X-ray or do an ultrasound or anything near the spot.
I actually have a family member who went to the dentist and wound up finding out that they had a piece of shrapnel in her jaw, and never has been in combat, any kind of war, nothing major or anything like that. And they wound up taking this metal shrapnel out of her jaw, and they never let her keep it or look at it or anything like that. And I always have suspected.
Yeah, that does sound suspicious. Yeah. There's Daryl Sims worked with a lot of people of implants, and I've met him a few times, and he's actually saw the spot. And he says, when you run your finger over the area where it is, it kind of feels like something's been scooped out, like a little indentation. But we didn't get into great detail. But if anybody checks out Daryl Sims, I don't know if he's called like the alien hunter or something, but he's really good and knowledgeable about implants. But I find that implants serve two purposes. And the one that I have is what they call a protective implant. And the best way to describe it is, say I am driving down in a deserted road, middle of the night, and the spaceship shows up like you see in TV, like hovering overhead. And they beam down on me, and it triggers my implant and says, "She's protected, you can't have her," and they have to move on. And that's because the negative space beings that are here, given permission to do the experimenting and all the stuff that they're doing, aren't allowed to touch the ones who are protected by the other alien races. And then the other one is where you are tagged, so they can always find you. And what we have found also is a lot of times that if you're tagged, your partner's going to be tagged. Your pet might even be tagged. Because let's say you figure out you have one and you remove it, but you don't realize that your partner or your pet has it. They can still find you based on tracking the other ones. And I was fascinated about hearing about that story. And some of them move. A lot of them have them in the back of their neck. But what you find is if you do have missing time or you're confused about something, and all of a sudden you notice a funny scar or something on your lower left leg, just above the ankle, that's where a lot of them are first implanted. And you don't remember cutting yourself or something, but there's like a sore there or a bump. In my case, it looks like a circular patch of dry skin, but nothing, it's not, you know, like normal psoriasis or anything like that. It's just this weird little patch of skin.
And so you were talking about how some are protected from other space beings. And I'm sure, like with anything, that there's bad apples in every bunch. What I've heard is that the reptilians, they get a bad rap. You said there were kind of two factions. You have the dark, the light, the good, the bad. Do you find have more of those hidden dark agendas? Because I've heard stories about reptilians trying to infiltrate our government, and there's talks of certain political figures who could possibly have either be reptilians themselves or have some sort of implant vril technology in them, so that way they're almost like a conduit for these beings. What's your experience with that?
Well, to be honest, when I was first told that I was like from the reptilian race, I was angry because I wanted to be one of those tall, long blonde haired, blue eyed Pleiadians. But then when they explained to me that actually at one time they were here on this planet and they were protectors, and then there was like, and they were driven underground. And some stayed behind, some got away. But there is the warring factor, which is the ones that are trying to conquer. And I've heard stories about them that they eat the babies, you know, human babies. They take over a lot of, you know, high powerful people's positions. And I wonder sometimes, because of course, if you Google, they're always going to show all these people whose eyes blink sideways. And it's like, you know, they catch this famous person or this president or somebody in politics, an actor, an actress, and that they show all these people, and you can kind of go down that rabbit hole, and then at one point you have to back off, because I don't really know. I know what they've told me, but a lot of it is based on trust and believing what they have said. But I do feel that there is, let's go back for a minute. You know how like everybody is saying that a lot of people in Hollywood and stuff, they're worshipping devils, and they're doing all sorts of demonic practices and stuff. So now in the religious realm, there's demonic. Well, how about if you switch it and you think of it as an alien realm, and that doing the lizard represents like the snake or Satan, and the sacrifices represent what these alien beings do? Because, you know, they think of human just like the way somebody would eat cow or chicken or a pig or something. So again, it's how you interpret it. But I do feel there's definitely evil that's already here. Now, I was told by the Pleiadians, even though they're beautiful to look at, they're actually very militant. And they're the ones that patrol outside our planet, watching for invaders to come through. That's what they told me. The insectoids are the ones that work with people in the medicine and the sciences. The Lyrans work with a lot of people who are in the metaphysical realm. And so they each, in the ones that I deal with, sometimes I've also talked to a couple of the other races who's at the moment, because it's only been one or two times, I can't really remember which ones they were. But the main ones that I work with are the ones that I've mentioned. And when I do a reading with somebody, I have them look at the alien cards and see which one they have the most reaction to. And then I tap into that race and see if they have any interaction with a person, or sometimes I even speak that language and then translate what they have to say to them.
Are there any patterns to your encounters, such as specific location, times of year, moon phases, or emotional states?
The times that I've seen the actual spaceships in my own town were in April and March, so spring. But I don't know if that had anything to do with it, because the thing is, when you think about time and seasons and all that, that only pertains to this planet. So you wouldn't think of how they would say, let's go visit Earth in the springtime. You know what I'm saying? or let's just go at nighttime because, you know, or let's go at midnight. They don't follow earthly patterns. So I don't think there's any set time. The only time I do notice that I'm not as good at contact is, well, you know, I've been through some surgeries recently and they give you pain pills. And when I'm on medication, mind-altering medications, I don't have any abilities. It suppresses it. Some people say it enhances theirs. Mine, no, because I want to have a clear mind so that I can say that it's an honest message and not something made up in my mind because it's a little loopy at the moment. And I also think there might be a reason of a lot more encounters during spring or fall is because the weather is ideal for people to be out in the woods, you know. Dead summer, it's way too hot. Who wants to go out with the mosquitoes and the thunderstorms and just the humidity? And then here in Florida, our winters aren't that bad. But so I really think it does correspond with weather more than actual seasons.
If we were to talk about specific locations, I know that we talk about ley lines a lot on the show and just how Florida seems to be a hot spot. I mean, you had so many people who say that there are the energy vortexes here. And I have heard of portal locations here in Florida as well. And then going beyond Florida, you do have places like Utah, Skinwalker Ranch, other spots. And just even like you said, your partner had experiences. Was it either Indiana or Illinois?
Illinois.
Do you think that there are certain environmental aspects that are just kind of like a harbinger to this energy? Or do you think, not that it's random, but that you would have a good of chance anywhere of having an experience happen?
Well, a couple of things, like going back to Stan's life in Illinois, they used to watch spaceships hovering over the power plants, the smokestacks of the power plant, pulling power. So that drew them there. Where here in Port Charlotte, where I live, we have a lot of Indian burial grounds that have been disturbed. So there's a lot of psychic activities in this county. And the two times I saw the UFOs, they were practically in the identical flight pattern of one was a triangle, and a month later, the next one was a cigar shape. That was actually almost identical flight pattern coming in from this one area, going over this other area and out into the Gulf, you know, going through the harbor toward the Gulf. So I don't know if that was a coincidence or if that was a certain pattern that the ships would follow. I've had a lot of people say they've seen spaceships over Charlotte Harbor late at night. So I think water, I know in Illinois, the other thing is they used to watch the UFOs fly over the river and follow the river like we would follow a road. So, and, you know, water frequency is very important and great for transmitting an energy. So I think water attracts too.
I definitely think so. I had a UFO experience and it was over water. I think that you're absolutely right that the water is such a conductor of that energy and that frequency. And that always, I find that so fascinating, the connection between the UFO alien phenomena and water, because there's been so many good sightings and documented accounts of the ships coming and landing and people seeing them next to a river, over the ocean, right, a lake, things like that. And you also brought up the mounds. I know of some researchers who had captured an EVP at some Native American burial grounds here in Florida. And on the EVP, they caught it saying, "Where's the spaceship? Where's the spaceship?" And And I've gone to these mounds myself, and I'm not a sensitive in probably the way that you are, but I do pride myself in having, you know, a good sense of intuition. And, you know, maybe I'm more sensitive than I maybe believe, but I think, you know, we all carry our own level to sense vibes and everything like that.
And the more you open yourself up, the more you're going to become able to sense a lot more, because everyone does have the abilities. Everybody suppresses it, or they just think that, you know, where did that random thought come from? But then when you start analyzing things, you realize, hey, I am getting messages, and especially with you being out all the time, seeing all the places you are going to and the experiences you're having, you're also developing your own abilities.
I kind of like to think that I am trying to tap into that side more. But when I went to these mounds, I've been there, I think, a total of 3 or 4 times now. The first time it was okay. I was with a pretty large group of people. The next couple times it was a much smaller group, and I've never really been scared out of an area, but when I really did have this just feeling of overwhelming dread when in this location, like if I got out of the car, something bad was going to happen. And we talk about it a lot, about that fight, flight, freeze that our brain goes into. And I just, everything inside me said, I need to just get out of this particular location. And when I did, and no joke, once my tires crossed back over to this one section of road, it was like I stepped into a different room, a different realm. The energy was completely different, completely changed. That bad, horrible, awful, icky feeling was completely gone. And I've really only had it at this one location where it's just overwhelming.
I have a couple thoughts on that. The first one was the first time I went out Bigfoot investigating, my daughter and I arrived at the place on Saturday, and they had started either Thursday or Friday. So they had a bunch of footprints and evidence ahead of time. And they said, come on, we're going to show you where we found the footprints the other day. And they had taken pictures of it and showed me the footprints, you know, so that they actually had some pretty clear prints. So we get up to the area about where they had found them, and they couldn't find the footprints anymore. And I was kind of surprised because I figured these were seasoned investigators. You'd think they would have marked the area better, but that was just me. And I started to walk ahead, and all of a sudden, I went into almost like a panic attack. My heart started to beat. I got nervous, scared, freaking out. It's like, what the heck's going on here? So I walked back to where my friends were, and I was perfectly calm. So then I walked up ahead, got the same icky feeling. And I said, you know, crazy. So I went back to my friends and felt calm. So I said, all right, I'm going to check it out one more time. And sure enough, the third time up there, I just felt something. All of a sudden, I kind of had a vision to the left side that there was Bigfoot over there, or in our case, skunk apes. And I started yelling out in what you would consider the light language. And they answered me telepathically. And I saw a man, woman, and child. The child was fearful, and they wanted to know what we were doing. So I said back to them that we're of love and light. We're only curious. We're sorry we scared the child. We mean no harm. And they said, well, the male said something about doing tree knocking, said something about a gift. And I think there's one other thing, and I can't remember it. Well, when I relayed the message to the group, it turns out that the footprints that they found the night before were small, medium, and large. So it would fit like a male, a female, and a child Bigfoot. The guy who was conducting the investigation said that night he got out of his tent to go use the restroom, and he heard tree knocking. And when he came out of the restroom, they tree knocked again to say that they were around. And then the next day, in this one area, they had left us a present of a dead rabbit, where they had caught it, snapped its neck, and laid it down gently as food for us. And the person who ran the park thought we killed it. Of course, none of us could run and catch a rabbit and do that to it. They did a full investigation on the animal, and the neck was broken in the exact spot that would kill them instantly. So everything that they had said to me was proven. So that's why, when you say you had a psychic experience, that if you don't have anything to back it up, all this is a personal experience. Well, after that, we went to the park over, and because of, I'm going to blame it on old age, I tire easily. So I said, why don't you people go on ahead, and I'm just going to sit in this spot and wait for you guys to come back. And while I'm sitting there, I see what I call the five brothers in my mind, and they're walking in single file, tallest to shortest, just like the pictures you see in books and stuff. And I, you know, kind of like called out to them, and they responded. And one of the things I said to them is, I feel very calm and at peace. I don't sense you, but I see you. And that's when the one said to me, well, that's because we haven't interdimensional shifted yet. So is it proof? I don't know. It was proof to me. But again, there's going to be a lot of people out there that just say, oh, yeah, sure, that didn't happen. And there's no way to prove it yet anyway. But like you say, they just disappear. They screw up cameras. You know, they walk by and the camera goes dead. And then when they walk away, it comes back on again. There's got to be some kind of electrical interference.
That is true with sightings where all of a sudden electronics will go dead. The recorder will stop working. And you also kind of hear that with alien encounters as well. The radio station will start going nuts. The car will turn on and off. So there is definitely something there with the energy. And if they're connected by this larger network, who knows what the capabilities are from there? So you speak really openly about your work and your gifts and stuff. Do you ever feel, or have you ever felt like you've ever tried to been silenced, or have you received any sort of intimidation to keep you from kind of spreading your truth?
There's been a couple times where when I've spoken to that one man I mentioned who took me to my cell room, Freudian slip there. So anyway, a few times when we've talked on the phone, weird stuff starts going on our phones. And it's like clicking sounds and like we get disconnected, or there's been a couple times, same thing, trying to talk to him, like in a Zoom call. Things won't, it's intermittent. It keeps cutting in and out. Same thing happened when I did Eerie Travels with Mark, that we had some really bizarre interference when I was talking. Hopefully you don't have any today. Then another time, it was like really weird. I had been talking to somebody on the phone deep about aliens and UFOs and stuff. And all of a sudden, there's a very loud Huey helicopter over my house. And I got frightened. And I kind of like cowered and said, go away, go away. I don't know what that was all about. But, you know, I used to work for Sikorsky helicopter, so I kind of know like the Hueys are more of a military helicopter, a different sound. But I can't honestly say they're checking me out, but I did get, and I mean, I hear helicopters and jets and everything over my house all the time because we are in a near an airport, but nothing like that one time where it just, I had total fear when it was flying around the house. And so there's been a few times where things have been weird, but I've had a lot of friends who have, they've tried to silence. That guy, John, I mentioned way earlier, he has had more encounters with people where he's supposed to meet them at a particular place, and the person never shows up and is never heard from again, and they're about to give him some information. The guy that I mentioned, the one who I just mentioned a few minutes ago, who took me to the soul room, he's had a lot of times where he has felt attacked. And this one friend was supposed to, he was supposed to go with this one friend to a conference, and he chose to come to our conference. And his friend mysteriously got sick at that conference and died. So there's been a lot of people have had lots of information that either disappear or get this strange illness and die. I don't think I'm that knowledgeable yet that I'm a threat. Except who knows what they think is a threat or not. But I do have to tell you, there's a couple things out in the Gulf of Mexico. Like if you're in Venice, Florida, and you visualize, you know, in your head, the Gulf out there, there is an underwater space station. And when my metaphysical group used to meet and do beach meditations, they would actually come out and join us. And you could feel them around us. You could feel them touching us. One tripped over my sister's foot. I actually had visions of like Cocopelli of all people running around. And I started singing in an alien language. That's when I first knew I could do it. And it was like a kid's song. Then after that, the few times I've been up to Venice Beach area, I get kind of melancholy. And the woman who runs it, or the female, her name is Atreya, similar to the thing from Neverending Story, but it's Atreya. And the song is very sad, like they want to go home. And they had told me that the oil spill, this was many, many years ago, that happened was pretty bad, but they stopped as much as they could So even though it was bad, it was supposed to be a lot worse, but they were able to contain it. But again, you know, it's all psychic communication. So a lot of stuff that I hear, I can't offer proof.
When we talk about the government possibly involvement, it goes all the way back to the 40s and 50s when they say that Eisenhower allegedly struck up a deal with the aliens and Valiant Thor to abduct a certain amount of Americans every year for experimentation. Do you think, I mean, I personally, and I know that we're now in the age of disclosure, supposedly, you know, where we're having congressional hearings on these UAP UFO scenarios, which I never thought that that would be something that we would see in our lifetime, but here we are. So obviously the government is aware, they know what's happening probably with these beings much more than they ever let on. But have you, through your work, come across anything involving that, you know, contract that Eisenhower made? I think it was kind of made for a swap where we'll give technology. You people to experiment, right, for technology.
Well, I have a couple thoughts on that as far as allowing humans to be experimented on. Don't think that if the original program was put into place, I don't think it was to be as violent and as invasive that they were allowing. But then as the reptoids got in, the negative ones, and they took over certain things, and they said, well, you gave us a contract that we could do this, that, you know, just like everything else, evil can take something that could have been a good exchange and turn it into one-sided, and that we're kind of stuck with. I never much thought about it, but, you know, I also heard another unusual story that there is a lecture going on at a college out in California by someone who talked about the Federation of Planets and, you know, a lot of alien type information, and that Gene Roddenberry was in the audience, and it gave him the idea to do Star Trek. Now, I don't know if that's actually true or not, but I've heard it a few times that, so that there is basis for the Federation and combination of planets. Another person had told me a lot of stuff you see in the movies have actually happened, and that's where they get the ideas from. For instance, when Stan was a teen or an older, you know, old enough to drive, that he and his friends were cutting across a cornfield out in farm country, and all of a sudden the whole car just lit up bright red, like, you know, in Close Encounters where it shoots a beam down and lights up stuff. And then it shut off, and they all went silent. And then a couple minutes later, they said, did any of you just see that happen? And they're all like, oh my God, you saw it too. So that kind of like, they saw that happen. And then like Stan had seen different things that the UFOs would do that you'd later on see in a movie. So that's how in some ways some of these movies are showing you truth, but either in a way to scare you, or they don't tell you the whole picture. But those things have actually happened to people.
Like they say, life imitates art. And I do believe in revelation of the method. And I think that sometimes they do have to show us to a certain extent what's happening. So I'm with you 100% on that.
I would just like to share two stories if we have time. The one time that Stan told me, he was about 22 years old and his father's farm but up against a national forest. And he used to go into the forest and hunt. And he was there one day, he called it squirrel hunting. And then he had such a good day, he went back a second day. And he's in this one spot in the woods, and he squats down to rest where he had been the day before, and some of his shotgun shells were left on the ground there. So he's kind of fiddling with them, you know, idle, keep your hands moving type thing. And all of a sudden he noticed that the forest got completely silent. And he looked down the hill where he was, and this being comes around from behind a tree, ducks under a branch, and is kind of leaning on the tree looking around. Now, he said the best way to describe it is it was all red with darker red lines pulsating all over its body. It didn't have any ears. It had the almond shape, hollow eyes, and was very muscular. Well, he put the shotgun shells down, slowly stood up, got his gun, and ran home. His mother took one look at him and said, "You look like you've seen a ghost." And he says, "Well, you could say that." But he never told his mom. And he only told one other person, one of his friend's moms, what he saw. Well, years later, now this was in the 50s, so he didn't have a TV, you know, they didn't go to the movies, things like that. But he said years later, when he saw a picture of Spider-Man, it looked just like Spider-Man, except red instead of blue and red. Now, he said the day or so after the incident, he went back to the woods, and he said he brought his measuring stick with him. And the branch that this creature had ducked underneath was almost 10 feet off the ground. So this thing was taller than 10 feet. He went back to the spot where he first saw a hit, and all his shotgun shells were shredded like a pile of confetti, including the brass, and left in a pile. And he said so he, you know, was always on the outlook or lookout every time he went back into the forest, but he never saw anything like that again. So, so he saw it would sound in a lot of ways when he's seen some pictures of the reptoids, he says it kind of reminds him of that, but either this had some kind of spacesuit on, or that was its body and seeing its veins pulsating, he could not tell you for sure. So that was his encounter. Now, one of the things is I get messages from space beings, and I was my friend, the one I keep talking about, who's ex-military ops, came to a conference to talk about something. I had a lecture, had him lecture at the store I had, and the insectoids had a message for him. So when he was taking a break, I went outside to talk to him, and I gave him a message in insectoid, and then I translated it, and I said, "You need to be wary of black vehicles, specifically cars." He says, "I know exactly what you're talking about." It's like, he says, "Something happened to me similar." And I said, "Well, this hasn't happened yet, but it's supposed to." He says, "Well, let me tell you what happened." He said, "I was driving home late at night on an old logging road and going across the top of Florida. And it's known for a lot of accidents because the road is narrow, and a lot of times the logging trucks will be driving in the center of the road and taking the curves wide. So you always pay close attention when you're driving. He was concerned because there was a pickup truck behind him following a little bit too close, but not so close that if he had to correct to get out of the way of something, the truck behind him should be able to get out of the way too. Well, he's coming up to this curve, and sure enough, here comes a 18-wheeler in, you know, the middle of the road, and then he sees a black sedan-type car trying to pass the logging truck at the same time. So he was able to pull over into the side of the road, and so was the truck behind him. Well, he watched this car go past him, and there was nobody in it. There was no driver, nothing. And basically, he figured out that they were out to get him. And he said he's had a couple encounters like that. And I mentioned 4 and 10, thinking in Florida, Route 10 or Route 4. But there was another road that he was planning on driving on to go visit some relatives in another state. And I thought he said it was 410 was a road, something like that. I can't remember. And he says, "I'll make sure that I stay off that road." So not knowing if anything was going to happen or not, he didn't go on that road. So we'll never know. But yeah, so he's had things like that happen to him. And you've heard about the black limousines or sedans with no drivers in it.
I think so. My mind went to remote technology, like that you can be sitting somewhere else and they could be driving these cars to run someone off the road or something like that. The self-driving vehicles.
Right. Yeah, because there's nobody in it, and that their job was to hit him head on and kill him. They didn't want a person in the other car, so it was all self-driven. But luckily he was alert, and he, you know, watched everything that was going on and was in an area he could pull over. And then the car had to continue to go straight because it would have been strange if all of a sudden it veered off and headed for him. You know, it had to just keep on going down the road.
Right. And do you think that that probably happened to him because of his past experience or because of what he's working on now?
Well, I think a lot of it, well, since he's been long retired, a lot of it has to do with his knowledge And, you know, they have to sign that disclosure where they can't give out all the details of what they've done till a certain age. And he's getting close to that age now, I think. So sometimes you wonder if something wouldn't happen to these people before they get a chance to disclose stuff because of it's getting close to the time that the confidentiality paperwork has expired.
Wow. I hadn't even thought about that.
A friend of mine's dad had some major encounters in the military in Alaska. Was it Alaska? I don't know. It was either Alaska or one of the poles. And they contacted and said, there's, you know, UFOs out here. What are we supposed to do? And they said, just shut off all your recording devices. We'll let you know when you can turn them back on. And he recorded everything anyway and hid it. And supposedly he has it hidden somewhere in that. He told his daughter about it, and when he dies, he says, and she can release it if she wants, because he'll move on. Gone. But yeah, so the military knows that they're around. I mean, how many times they've gone by and they've totally taken control of the missile silos just because they can. They wouldn't allow any nuclear bombs because it doesn't just affect our planet. It affects beyond our planet. So when it gets to the point where it could harm others, they're not going to allow it to happen.
You brought up the poles too, because I've heard reports out of Antarctica that there are alien bases and civilizations there.
Well, I met a woman. She was 83 years old at the time when I met her, and she has flashbacks of being there. And she wanted to talk about it, but because of her age, some of her family thought that she was senile. But she had this one niece who believed her, and she told me that when she was little, around 3, you know, let's say 80 years ago, her father used to talk to her about being on the moon. And her daughter, and she would say things like, well, how could that be? And he talked to her about spaceships. And then one day, she and her mom was driving down a country road, and there was a UFO hovering over some land, and other cars were stopped looking at it. And her mother said, I want you to take a good look at that. And when you hear the news tomorrow, they're going to tell you it's an airplane. But believe me, that is not from this world. And that it's, you know, I don't know if she said it was a UFO or whatever. And sure enough, the next day in the newspaper, there's an article about a downed airplane out in the field. So she had those memories when she was a child. But then she said she remembers going into Antarctica. There was, you know, the buildings and the creatures she encountered and this and that. And basically what I was told psychically is that she was supposed to be a teacher of the alien children to teach them about Earth and about, you know, different beliefs and things and just everything about Earth and the people on Earth. And that I actually had a visual of her sitting with this long dress on and these alien children kind of like sitting in a circle around her on the floor, just in awe of her teaching them stuff. Now, of course, that was a psychic vision. I don't know if it really happened, but I mentioned it to her. I also checked her for an implant. She had one in the back of her neck, but she felt so at peace after somebody talked to her, believed her, listened to her stories, and could confirm some of the things that she thought were real, that they really were, and not some, you know, dementia mind trick. So, yeah, so she was giving me proof of it. Them being there.
With that being said, if there's anybody listening who might be struggling with what they think could be a potential encounter or struggling with maybe having had some experiences that they don't know what to do with or who to talk to about it, what do you recommend for somebody listening who might be looking sort of for that same validation to know, okay, I'm not crazy. This really happened to me. What would you recommend?
Anybody is welcome to contact me. When I do anything pertaining to alien, I never charge. The only time I charge is if I'm hired to do an actual tarot reading or something. But most of the stuff that I do, I don't do for money, because that's not why I was given the abilities to do what I do. I will spend as much time as I need. If it has to be everything over the phone or in person, we can work something out. And then we can even figure out if they're not local. I can put them in contacts with people I have, know, throughout the country as well as, well, right now, England and Australia. So, but I hope you don't mind, but the Pleiadians have a message.
Oh, maybe. No, absolutely.
Tamako shatara si buko shatara ki tamaka. Tanamaka pidi si tiko shatara ti kanakidan siko shatara si butum. Kanamaka shatara tara ku porokitere seki shudusara kana. Meko shuda bisatere ku shotamas tara katas binana. Kolala abisatu.
They're saying time is getting closer. Not to be afraid, because that there are plenty of ambassadors, also known as starseeds, and other people around that will tell you the truth and not always look toward our leadership for comfort or truths, and that they underestimate our leadership does not estimate how smart and how well the major population is going to handle what's going to be coming up.
That's such a powerful message.
Yeah, because matter of fact, I was told that 2020 of all was supposed to be disclosure, like perfect vision 2020. And that certain politicians were told that they were supposed to, you know, let it all out. But then all the pandemic showed up, telling people that they couldn't go outside. You know, you had to stay inside and hunker down. And it just was a lot of distraction. And also a lot of the masking hid certain faces that might have been different so they could walk amongst people. And that they're getting, for lack of a better term, the Federation is getting tired of it being postponed. And that's why more and more things are finally being released. They still don't feel that we could handle, you know, the government doesn't think we can handle full disclosure immediately. Plus, the moment they release everything, people are going to see how much lying has been done all these years. You know, back in the late 90s, the Vatican actually had a message out there that it was okay to believe in aliens. It didn't take away from their Catholic beliefs. They were setting themselves up that when they actually did finally have disclosure, that they wouldn't lose all the people because they would fear that everybody's religious beliefs would be destroyed once the aliens showed up.
There is this slow drip of information, because if the layperson who has no context or knowledge of this were to receive all of that information, that it would just be too much. So they have to release it in the slow drip. And during that 2020 time, I also wondered, like you said, how people were told to stay inside, if there was something happening in our skies or in our atmosphere that we weren't meant to see, that they didn't want people out seeing and witnessing. Things are ramping up, and you see it more in pop culture than I think you ever have before. There were so many, I lost count. I think there were at least 3 alien themed commercials on the Super Bowl this year. And so we're kind of getting more familiar with that AI intelligence and things like that.
There's been an awful lot of commercials with Bigfoot in it too.
Yes, there has. It's like gone mainstream.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, to your point of the Federation kind of getting tired of having to hide, are Bigfoot sightings, are there going to be an uptick in that in the coming years?
The problem that I'm seeing, though, is AI is ruining it for everybody, because people are putting out fake videos of alien encounters, Bigfoot encounters, any kind of encounters, and people are getting to the point where it's making them not believe again that it's all fake. And I know
it's true.
On a lot of discussions, people say, with all the technology we have today, why can't you ever get a clear picture? I said, well, let's put it this way. If I gave you a perfectly clear picture, you would just say it was AI. So I can't win. If I take a fuzzy picture because they're interfering with technology, that's the best I can show, no matter how good my phone or camera is. So I said, you can't win. You're going to complain it's too fuzzy to see, or you're going to complain it's AI because it's too clear. And I'm seeing that a lot on Facebook. They keep putting these like They recently had one of a guy standing, seeing a spaceship with an alien standing in front of it. Well, it was pretty bad because the alien was about as tall as a spaceship. They didn't do very good. But you knew it was AI. There could be encounters like that for real. But with all this technology today, everybody can say it's all fake.
That's true. It is sad. But I think that's why it's going to make perhaps the sightings in the last 100 years even more impactful, because we do have videos of the Phoenix Lights, the Tic Tac video, and some of those other documentation, you know, before this just boom in AI technology that's probably going to become like our holy grail to reference. Because to your point, it's so tough and it's getting harder and harder to tell the difference between what's real and what's not when it comes to AI. There's a whole group of these AI generated images, and they look like people, and they're popping up a lot on TikToks, and content creators are paying and writing the scripts for these AIs to push a product or push a thing. A lot of the health and beauty is such a big thing, because it's always like, hey, I have this tip on how you can reduce wrinkles and this and that. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, yes, what is it? And it's just bullshit. It's not, none of it's actually real. It's just this AI script with this fake AI doctor saying that this is good for you, that scale is tipping to the point where now everybody's thinking everything's fake all the time.
Yeah. And it's sad, because it's almost to me like another way to deceive mankind is by, now that they're going to disclose stuff, people still won't believe it because they're going to blame everything on computers and AI.
I just want to say thank you so much for coming on tonight. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I really do hope that it is the first of many deep dives that we get to do, because I feel like we've just scratched the surface. And I always say that after doing these types of interviews, I always have more questions. Once you give me an answer, now I have 10 more questions for you about it.
Same thing for me. When we hang up, it's going to be like, oh my gosh, I should have told him about this alien encounter, or I should have told him about what I heard from someone else, or this, that, or the other thing. And then it's like, well, maybe I can come back on and we could talk some more, either about the alien or the ghost encounter, something, you know. But, you know, there's, after being, I'm 73, I have a lot of stories.
I'm so happy you were able to come on and share some of them with us tonight. I think that this is going to be fantastic and the listeners are just going to love it.
Thank you so much. And again, if anybody has any alien encounter issues, there's two types. One is we call experiencers, and the other is abductees. The experiencers are the ones that the good aliens contact to recruit, to help in certain ways, and to teach and educate. And the other is the ones that take us for experimentation. I do have a take on supposedly how this world was formed and why the experiments are going on, but that's a whole story in itself.
That's a wrap on this interstellar episode of Dark Florida. Today, we traveled far beyond the veil into alien languages, psychic messages, government secrets, and a mysterious thread that seems to tie it all together. Bigfoot, UFOs, spirits, and, well, us. A huge thank you to Phyllis for sharing her extraordinary experiences and wisdom. Conversations like these remind us that reality isn't always what it seems, and that we're all connected to something much bigger than what we've been told. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you're following me on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast for behind the scene content, case photos, and all my upcoming investigations. And you can catch full video episodes and field footage on YouTube at youtube.com/darkflorida411. And if you love what we're doing and want to support this spooky journey, visit buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. Until next time, keep your eyes on the skies and your heart open to the mysteries of the universe. This is Brooke Moreland signing off. Stay curious and stay strange.